I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.
KFI AM 640. You're listening to the John Cobell Podcast on the iHeartRadio app. We've got about two shows worth of material today, so we're not wasting any time. We're going to go right to it. And the first thing I want to get into is a story that we just assembled here moments ago. I want to play you a piece from Channel 7, so I think that'll be a quick way to get an idea of what this is about. You know, I figured out Karen Bass long, long time ago, way before she was mayor. She's got an act. Most successful politicians have an act, and most of the time people fall for it because most people are kind of dim. So Karen Bass's act is to be smiley and positive and enthusiastic about things, and you don't notice that she fails at what she claims she's doing. And she is failing miserably in her first year and a half, but it's not reported on. Because, you know, it's not appropriate, apparently, to paint Karen Bass in a bad light for any number of reasons. But the truth is she's failing. She's got this fake program called Inside Safe. She puts out fake numbers. And you know how I know they're fake? Well, first of all, I have a pair of eyes. And there's still tons of homeless all over the place. Sometimes they get moved from one neighborhood to the next. But they're still here. And they're still increasing. She can't prove that any of the numbers are true, and she doesn't try. So you look at what people do, and you also look at what they don't do. If it works, you'd be bringing the proof. But it's not working. And another sign is she's still getting sued. The LA Alliance for Human Rights is an interesting group. They're made up of business owners, residents, and homeless people who think Karen Bass is failing, spending tax money on programs that don't work. Fourthly, the reason I know this is a scam is now a federal judge, David O. Carter, has ordered an audit of these homeless programs, including Inside Safe. If it was working so well, you'd see it with your own eyes. She would be bringing forth proof. You wouldn't have a suit from the LA Alliance for Human Rights, and you wouldn't have a judge demanding an audit be done. Let's get a rundown here from Josh Haskell from ABC 7.
I'm not losing faith, but I've just been very discouraged.
Rosie Wong was thrilled when the city finally cleared a homeless encampment that blocked the sidewalk in front of her home. But not even a day later, tents reappeared with other members of our unhoused population. The encampment was cleared under Los Angeles Mayor Karen Bass's Inside Safe program, which is now part of an audit ordered by federal judge David O. Carter of all homelessness assistance programs funded or conducted by the city of Los Angeles.
We brought this case in March of 2020, right as the pandemic was descending, because of the decades of failure by government. But government continues to be the only entity that can make an impact on this.
The plaintiff in the federal case is the Alliance for Human Rights, a group of business owners, residents, and members of the unhoused population upset over how taxpayer dollars are being spent on homelessness.
We are disappointed in the city, and we do not believe that they've complied with our agreement. The city has made some progress. The mayor's Inside Safe program has brought some people inside, but the numbers are far short of what we anticipated under the agreement.
In a statement regarding the federal audit, the mayor's office said in part, Mayor Bass has long led calls for accountability, transparency, and outcome measures regarding homelessness services and the cost incurred by the city, which is why the mayor suggested an independent audit. The city controller, Kenneth Mejia, is also conducting his own audit of Inside Safe. The Alliance for Human Rights will be back in federal court Thursday as an auditor is expected to be appointed. The city tells me that tomorrow they'll release invoices related to their homeless efforts as instructed by the court.
Yeah, there's two audits going on. One from the city controller, and he's a socialist, and one now ordered by the judge, David Carter. Now, if you had a successful program going on, why would you get calls for two audits? If you had a successful program, why would you have so many people going on television saying, I'm disappointed. I'm disappointed. Here's the crux of it. What I noticed in that report is that they clean out a homeless encampment, and then a few days later, they're back. Or maybe they're around the corner. Now, they clean it up again, and some of these encampments have been cleaned up several times. Well, if you clean up 50 people the first time, and then they come back, and then you clean up another 50 people, that's 100 people. Is that what you're counting in your statistics? The same people that you're cleaning up over and over again? The same people that you're putting in motels, and then they wander out of the motels and end up in a different encampment, and you clean them up and send them to a second motel? Do you think they're actually keeping track of the identities of these people? Do you think they're keeping track whether it's the same people over and over again? Yeah, every once in a while, people want to take a break from the grind of living in a tent and decide, sure, I'll take the abandoned motel for a while. This is a failed program. And she does, and Garcetti did this for 9.5 years. And he really left behind wreckage. I mean, he really was a stinker of a mayor. What a monstrosity he was. But she's adopted all of his tactics. You smile, you give these smooth-sounding sound bites, you come up with a bunch of fake numbers, you know, you shuffle the papers around so nobody can keep track. And finally, everybody has had it. It's been, how many years has this been? It's been almost a decade of this. Enough. Enough. We know what you're doing. You took billions of dollars. These fake criminal nonprofits have blown the money, mostly on their own salaries. And as I told you earlier this week, there's a coalition of pro-homeless groups that want to extend the sales tax and send billions more dollars from LA citizens to this homeless hole. This homeless industrial complex, this huge money suck. They actually want to double the tax and extend it because it's supposed to expire in 2 years. They want to double it and extend it. Billions of dollars. And after 7 years of this, we got nothing to show for it. We got Karen Bass and her fake statistics, and we got encampments that she's cleaned up three times over, probably double and triple accounting these people. We've got them housed in some dilapidated hotels, but that, excuse me, that's a budget buster. She herself said we can't afford this because even the dilapidated hotels charge too much money. And she's got no place to put to these people, and nobody makes them clean up their own miserable lives. How long do we have to cater to this crowd? They won't work. They won't get any treatment for whatever problems they have. How long do we have to pay for them to not live and defecate in the parks and the streets. How long? What's the end point on this? It's the same people. And then there's new ones coming in. She has failed at this. Absolutely failed, which is why she spends most of her time running around talking about the Olympics, because the Olympics are a happy, smiley thing that we're all supposed to get excited about. I think a lot of people are going to get out of town. All I'm seeing today is stories about, oh, we have to get the buses running, and we have to get the new train lines put in because the Olympics are coming. Meanwhile, day-to-day life is a real pain in the ass under Karen Bass. Because she failed. We've got more coming up. And Steve Gregory has a report. And I just heard a piece of this. And Steve must be the only reporter in the whole city, in the whole state, that has this. I woke up this morning, and there's just a little piece of the story I heard, that there were 70,000 homeless arrested over the last 4 years in the L.A. area. 70,000. A lot of them for warrants. Arrest warrants. And I'm looking all day to see who else has the story. It seems nobody does. And Steve dug it out of, I don't know, some commission meeting report. We'll get all the details for sure coming up with Steve after 1:30.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
On the radio from 1 until 4, and then after 4 o'clock, John Cobalt Show on Demand. That is the podcast, the same as the radio show. You hear what you missed. Steve Gregory is going to be on in about 10, 15 minutes. And he's going to tell us about a report, which I only have a bare headline on because nobody else has covered this. Steve has a report on tens of thousands of homeless people getting arrested over the last 4 years. A lot of them on arrest warrants. So we'll talk to him after Deborah's 1:30 news. Oh, speaking of Deborah, if you go to our social media, whether it's Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, I guess, everything, you will hear the audio clip of the prank that the two Deborahs played on me. On April Fool's Day, the Deborah Mark and my wife Deborah, and they teamed up. And not to tell you too much, but you should listen to it.
I do have to clarify, though, real quick. Instagram servers are down, and so it might not pop up on people's feeds until the server is back up and running, but you can see it on Twitter, X, at John Cobalt Radio.
And on the podcast, it's the last hour.
Yes, third hour of the podcast.
Third hour, yes.
April Fool's Day.
All right, so we got that covered?
Yes, thank you.
All right, you give me any more Instagram bulletins on when it's up and up.
No, I will.
Up operating again.
I know you care so much.
I do. Well, no, I think the... all the listeners should see the talent of the two Deborahs here.
Yes, no, it was very funny.
Trying to pull a fast one on me and succeeding. All right. This is good news. We'll spend a few minutes on good news, and I hope it holds out. Nathan Hochman announced a poll. They polled 817 likely voters about his race against George Gascon for LA County DA in November. And according to the poll, Hochman gets 44%. Gascon gets only 23%. So it's almost 2-1 for Hochman, with one-third undecided. What's to be undecided about? Hochman, according to his people, has a massive lead among Republicans and independents, and is statistically tied within the margin of error among Democratic voters. Apparently, Gascon can't even get half of the Democrats to vote for him. Hochman leads among Latino voters by 2-1, leads among Asian voters by 3-1. And again, overall, he's up 44-23 with a third undecided. Generally in elections, if people haven't decided when the incumbent has been around a number of years, they usually break towards the majority will break towards the challenger. Fewer than 1 in 10 voters feel safer since Gascon took office. To be specific, 9%. 9% of LA County voters feel safer. 59% feel less safe. His overall favorability rating, Gascon, 18%. Wow. Vegetables have a better favorability rating than that. He is negative across the board, even among registered Democrats. Can you imagine registered Democrats in Los Angeles of all places? He has only a 24% favorable rating, 37% unfavorable, according to the poll. So his favorability ratings are even worse than the 25% of the vote that he got. I guess there's some people who don't like him, but they just won't vote for a non-Democrat. Hochman, it needs to be stressed, is running as an independent because from what I'm told is Gascon is just going to try to smear him as right wing. And what he is an old-fashioned prosecutor who's got this radical belief that you enforce the law and you prosecute bad guys, which is the way it always was. And maybe after this experiment, the way it always will be for the foreseeable future. You can't have it any other way. They had their run. They had this experiment. They tried it in New York, Chicago, San Francisco, Portland, Seattle, Philadelphia, Washington, D.C. They got all these left-wing progressive whack job prosecutors. And every single one of those cities is overrun with crime ranging from burglaries and thefts to violent crimes, murders. It's just awful. One simple decision. We elected prosecutors who don't put people in prison. Well, what do you think is going to happen? You don't put violent people in prison, you get more violence. You don't put thieves and burglars in prison, you get more theft and burglaries. What else would happen? I'll never understand this period. This was like a collective nervous breakdown, collective insanity. What made anybody think that if you keep prisoners out of prison, life would be better? Why would you think that? But this is still part of the whole 2020 emotional breakdown that much of the country had for a number of reasons. But these are the worst policies that a country has ever created. Still, you get a quarter of the county willing to vote for Gascon. Even people who don't like the job he's doing. Well, you know, he is a Democrat, and I'm a Democrat, and I just vote Democrat. Until the thieves break in and carry out all your furniture. I do not understand human nature. Get out of your tribe. Use logic, common sense. Guy is stealing stuff. Guy is harming people. You put him in prison. When they're locked up, they can't hurt anybody. And it's the same people who commit the crimes over and over and over again. We only have to put a small number of people away, and we will eliminate a large number of crimes. It's true. There's only a few people who are that bad. We have to lock them up. It's nothing more complicated. You don't have to go and study criminology at some Ivy League university. All right, more coming up. Steve Gregory is going to explain how many homeless people have been arrested in recent years in the Los Angeles area here and for what.
More Than a Movie is back with season two of the award-winning film podcast, and this time with a lot more movies. I'm your host, Alex Fumero, and each week I'm going to talk to the people behind some of my favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the OG spy kid, Alexa Penavega.
You had Carlo Gugino, who's the coolest mom ever. You had Antonio, who's handsome, amazing, charismatic. And then Carmen and Juni. I felt like a lot of other kids felt like this could be me.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Every episode will feature interviews with the biggest actors, directors, writers, and producers behind your favorite films and tap into the history of Latinos in film. Listen to More Than a Movie as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
We're on every day from 1 until 4, then after 4 o'clock, whatever you missed, John Cobalt Show on demand. the podcast. I want to get right to this. I heard this almost by accident this morning. I happened to pop in the car like a minute before 7 o'clock, and I heard Amy King's news on KFI, and she played, I heard a piece of the story. I heard a little bit of an audio clip of a female official speaking and heard Amy read a few lines, but the gist of it was thousands of homeless people have been arrested in recent years in Los Angeles, and a lot of them have had warrants out. And it's like, oh, what's this? So I go home, and I'm looking for stories everywhere else. Nothing. And it turns out that Steve Gregory did the story, and he kind of found the story by accident, too. Explain, first of all, how you stumbled across this.
I monitor the LA Police Commission meetings every week, and sometimes the meetings are canceled, and sometimes they're moved or whatever the case is. But this one from would be yesterday, you know, the way it goes is the chief of police will give his update, and then the commissioners can all ask questions, and then it goes to public comment. Well, after public comment, then it goes to the remaining agenda items. And one of the things that was on the agenda item yesterday had to do with a very interesting metric that I was not aware of, and it was tracking the number of arrests of homeless people and their disposition. So I listened in on it, and it was Commander Giselle Espinosa who was in charge of this. But this was a mandate from City Council. City Council asked the LAPD to cobble together these numbers over the last 4 years to figure out how many homeless people have been arrested, why were they arrested, how long did they stay in jail, and why and how were they released. So she went down all the numbers. And ultimately, it was actually 69,723 homeless people were arrested in a 4 year period up to last year.
That's a huge number.
Of those, so I rounded up to 70 because I say nearly 70,000, which is accurate. Yeah. So of that, the majority of them were arrested for felony warrants.
Outstanding warrants?
Outstanding felony warrants.
Outstanding felony warrants.
Followed by outstanding misdemeanor warrants. That was number two. Number three was assault with a deadly weapon.
Whoa.
Number four was battery. And the last one, the top five, was robbery. So those were the five crimes that all the homeless people were arrested for over that 4 year period. They didn't get into the metrics of what the felony warrants were for or what the misdemeanor warrants were for. But something else that popped up from here also was that more than 13,000 of that, close to 70,000, were released on zero bail.
Wow. I mean, because either they have, for the most part, warrants out for their arrest, which means they didn't show up to face the court the first time, or they did something suspected of doing something violent.
Right. On the felony.
And there's no bail for most of these people.
Yeah. So more than 13,000 were let out on zero bail. And all of those that were arrested, their average time in jail was 24 hours. That was their average time in jail. The second, coming in number two in terms of release was the $50,000 bail mark, which that was the second highest, followed by $20,000 bail, followed by $10,000 bail. So the numbers go down dramatically from there on the number of people.
$50,000 bail would indicate a violent crime.
Very, very much so.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. And 70,000 is a big number because there's only supposed to be like 45,000 homeless people in the city. So you've got an arrest and a half for every homeless person around.
The other thing that they didn't talk about was how many of these folks are repeat offenders. There was wasn't offered.
There has to be a lot of them.
But the fact that the top reason for arrest is that they'd already been arrested shown up.
So there's a lot of criminals out there, which I've always maintained. And you have all these activist group and politicians saying, no, these are people just down on their luck. And, you know, it's a lack of housing. And it's like, no, they're criminals. And clearly they are. I mean, this is proof they are. You have a community of 45,000 homeless. You have 70,000 arrests. they've already committed crimes in many of those cases, and then they've got new crimes that they're being arrested for. So this is not a warm, cuddly group that we're talking about here. And of course, they get spun through the system with no accountability, no punishment at all. They're right. Put back out on the street.
Well, and I'm not sure what the city council is going to do with these numbers.
Now, are they coming from the other angle where they think the police are harassing the homeless, arresting them too much, and they're supposed to be overlooking these warrants and not charging them?
I don't know what the plan is. All I know is that the city council directed the LAPD to go back over these years and put together this report. And it doesn't, they never did say, and it's something that, because I don't monitor city council.
Right.
And so I'm not sure what the intent is. It makes me want to go back and I mean, I was going to look into this a little bit more and ask, why are you doing this? I mean, what's the end game here for these numbers?
Yeah.
Are they trying to figure out?
I've never heard this reported on before. That's why it struck me this morning.
Well, me too. That's why it caught my attention when I was monitoring the meeting. I was like, wait, that's odd. How many homeless people
are
arrested?
I always thought that they're not arrested enough because they're committing crimes all day long.
Sure.
Quality of life crimes and, you know, all the drugs and whatnot. But that they had been arrested, and a lot of them for serious stuff.
Well, the felonies are going to be either a felony is going to be, you know, a robbery at a certain number, you know, over, what is it, 950?
Uh-huh.
Yeah, so that's going to be a felony. Or violence. Those are usually the two reasons that you're going to get a felony. Some violent act, or you stole something of high value. That's it.
And got caught.
Sure.
You know, because a lot of this stuff doesn't get...
It could be drugs, too. I mean, that'd be pretty significant. They'd have to have a lot of drugs for it to be a felony.
Because generally, the police are not... rousting the homeless for the drugs they're taking. Everybody's left inside their tents and they're busy ingesting whatever they're ingesting.
And that has become part of the problem too, because when you look at small business owners and people in neighborhoods, you know, the police, they're put in a very precarious position. And in fact, the story I was covering in San Bernardino County today, mental health and policing was a big deal in this presser this morning with Sheriff Dykus. That all of this misguided legislation and these policies and the politics are putting undue strain on law enforcement because they're damned if they do and damned if they don't. So if a small business is saying, hey, would you please come clean up this homeless camp, get these people out of the front, then they do it. Then the ACLU steps in, or, you know, city council steps in and tells the chief you're being too mean to the homeless. And then this is cycle. You know?
Yeah, and it's nuts because most cities in America don't have this problem. Not to this level, no. You know, but everybody has their Skid Row neighborhood. That's in every city, sure. But all the cities that I go to, and certainly out in the suburbs, nobody's got this issue. These are our choices that our government is making, and we choose to have these people in government making these stupid decisions. But this is a self-inflicted wound.
I'm almost seeing more photo ops than I am homeless people getting off the streets.
Yeah, well, that's why Karen Bass has two audits now into this Inside Safe program. Somebody's going to finally blow the lid off.
Let me ask you something while I got you wearing the homeless issue. Have you heard any of the follow-up from those people at Lhasa that were throwing the food away, that were supposed to be delivering the food, but they were throwing it in the dumpster?
No.
Have you ever heard whatever happened to those folks?
No.
That's one of those things I really wish David Goldstein would, but he retired.
He retired.
But you know
what?
He
got too much for him.
That was one of my favorite stories he's ever done.
I know. I know. Actual...
investigative reporting.
Yeah.
And getting video of it.
There's like, you know, two guys in the whole town who do this.
Yeah.
And he was one of them.
And I always wondered what the disposition was for those individuals.
I mean, these Lhasa employees tossing the food, not even feeding the homeless with it because they didn't want to be bothered.
It was all boxed. It was perfectly good food. And just tossing it away and then going to the coffee shop and then going down, picking up their laundry and bring back the empty trays. Yeah, job done. This is what we got.
I know. Very good, Steve.
Thanks, bud.
Steve Gregory, I've got more to say about this when we come back.
You're listening to John Cobalt on demand from KFI AM 640.
Coming up after 2 o'clock, Michael Monks from KFI News, because there's a new program in Los Angeles to offer mental health service people instead of cops. When you call in, if there's something crazy happening at your house, Somebody's gone off. And already they've had 300 calls just since March the 12th. Why are there so many mental problems?
Why are you looking at me?
I thought you might know. I don't remember in my neighborhood a lot of mental health problems.
Well, people probably just didn't talk about it then.
There weren't cops showing up and crisis intervention and, you know, people just lived. They went to work every day.
Maybe you just, maybe people were more quiet about it.
Maybe they were. I mean, so, some of the moms would get pretty loaded. That I knew for sure.
The moms?
Yes.
What about the dads?
I saw during the day it was moms. Dads were at work. I think they got loaded on the way home, the dads. But I didn't see that part. No, I once had a loaded mom drive me home.
You did?
My friend's mom.
Oh, my.
And she ended up on the front lawn of a neighbor's house.
Oh, that's scary.
Yeah.
Wow. Okay, see, there's craziness back in the day.
I know. The thing is, now that would be considered a felony.
Yes.
Back then, we just laughed it off. It's like, well, she...
And you weren't wearing a seatbelt either.
No seatbelt. Mom driving up the lawn. Not my mom. Hey, we were talking with Steve Gregory about his report, which he found almost by accident. It turns out at the LA Police Commission meeting, on the agenda was how many homeless people have been arrested in Los Angeles. And over the last 4 years, would you believe 69,723 homeless people have been arrested? Now, we're constantly, they constantly lied to us all day and night. Constant propaganda, not just from city officials, not just from people in those criminal nonprofits and in that criminal LASA organization, but everybody in the media. Oh, we have to look at them with compassion and understanding, people down on their luck, that they just don't have the same privilege. No, these people are nuts and they're criminals. And the majority of them had felony warrants or misdemeanor warrants. Those were the top two categories for being arrested. They'd already done something bad, and most of them got little to no bail. So they never showed up in court to address their felony or misdemeanor charges. This is the system we have here. I don't know how most of these people got caught on top of it. Then the third most common reason for getting arrested is assault with a deadly weapon. Well, that doesn't sound very peaceful, does it? And imagine putting all these people in one of Karen Bass's motels. What do you think's going to happen there? The fourth was battery. The fifth was robbery. 69,723 arrests of homeless people just in the city of LA. We supposedly have about 45,000 at any given moment. That averages to about an arrest and a half for every single living homeless person. That's how many criminals are out there. Repeat criminals. Criminals who get out immediately. Average stay, 24 hours or less. And a lot of them, no bail. And then we're told not to be afraid. Treat them with respect. Treat them with humanity and compassionate. These are frightening statistics. They are more likely than not on the lam after not showing up in court for their felony arrest or misdemeanor arrest, or they're more likely than not, when you add these categories in, to assault you with a deadly weapon, to batter you or to rob you. That's the truth. That's the LA Police Commission agenda. This is a real fact that they were discussing here. And the reason they were discussing this is the city council wanted to know. Why do they want to know? I'm suspicious. Why do they want these people not being arrested anymore for any reason? Look the other way if they're assaulting you, battering you, hitting you with a baseball bat. This is a real story. Absolutely unreported. This is stuff that the city council, the police commission should be reporting to us in a news conference. They should be saying, beware the homeless people outside your kid's school. Beware the homeless people in that encampment, because these people are dangerous for all the danger warnings they give us. But nobody reports about it in the media. This media in LA, it's really on lockdown, isn't it? Anything that violates the propaganda rules just doesn't get discussed anymore. We will have more coming up after 2 o'clock. Michael Monks about this new program that will divert mental health calls from LAPD to mental health professionals, unarmed, of course. So somebody's going nuts in your house. It's not for the police anymore. It's a pilot program. And they've had hundreds call in since March 12th. A lot of distress out there. We'll talk about it. We come back. Deborah Mark live in the KFI 24-hour newsroom.
Hey, you've been listening to the John Cobalt Show podcast. You can always hear the show live on KFI AM 640 from 1 to 4 p.m. every Monday through Friday. And, of course, anytime on demand on the iHeartRadio app.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
More Than a Movie is back with Season 2. I'm your host, Alex Fumero. And each week, I'm going to talk to the people behind your favorite movies. From The Godfather, Andy Garcia.
He has the smarts of Vito, the temper of Sonny, the warmth of Fredo, and the coldness of Michael.
To the legend behind La Bamba, Lou Diamond Phillips.
When I walked in, I didn't think I had a shot at Richie because John Stamos's picture was already up on the wall.
Listen to More Than a Movie on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi, I'm Michael Rappaport.
And I'm Kibi Rappaport.
And together we're hosting Rappaport's Reality Podcast.
We have a passion for reality TV, and we're inviting you into our living room.
We're dissecting the drama, and we're giving praise to the single greatest form of entertainment on television today. That is right. Reality TV is the greatest form of entertainment on television today. Listen to Rappaport's Reality starting May 8th on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcast, or wherever you get your podcasts.